Please be seated. We announce this morning a common grace across difference and across time. A common grace in two dimensions, one horizontal and one vertical, one present and one future, one relational and one generational, one summed in the, in 1611 language, the epigram, "What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." And again in 1611 language, for the second, "So summed, suffer the children to come unto me and hinder them not, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." A common grace first, across difference. By God's grace, we are made in different shapes and types and sizes. We are in identity different one to another. The gospel according to St. Mark in the 10th chapter traces issues of community life. This would be a good place in which to begin a course on pastoral or church administration, because here the issues are authority, marriage, children, riches, power, leadership. It tells us that in the 70s, the year 70 of the Common Era, in Mark's community, these two were issues as they are for us. So Jesus, raising the issue of Moses' teaching, reminds us that wherever inheritance and gospel lastingly conflict, gospel trumps inheritance. So we have a teaching on divorce, but we are careful. We need to be gentle here so not to unnecessarily to bruise. This is one of several teachings on divorce in the New Testament, and several more in the whole of the Scripture, as the dialogue indicates. Mark has something to convey to us about relationship and height therein. But the teaching on divorce is different from that in Matthew, who follows with a similar account, adding phrases, "except in the case of," "except for," and also Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, who has a broad and open willingness to announce and confirm the need for divorce, though in 1 Corinthians 7, 25 and following, he has his own view of marriage itself. That is, this is a teaching that is more theological than ethical, more spiritual than moral. It is Mark's remembrance of Jesus lifting the capacity for human relationship. In a way, it's like the letter from the epistle to the Romans, celebrating the mystery of identity in interaction, and Jesus lifting the possibility. It reminds the sophomores, juniors, seniors, others here today that one response to the question, "What are we doing here on planet Earth?" is, we are knowers and we are lovers, meant to know and be known, meant to love and be loved. So this passage lifts, heightens our awareness and our sense of possibility in knowing and in loving, in being known and in being loved. Not only in marriage, marriage is the example here, but what is said applies to relationship generally. Yes, to marriage, but also to covenant, and also to partnership, and also quintessentially to friendship. Over a lifetime, shall we not find a way to develop a capacity for lasting friendship? Oh, these are teachings that remind us maybe we need to dust off a little bit our Martin Buber, not I it, but I thou, heart to heart, soul to soul. Maybe we need to dust off a little bit our Howard Thurman, people, all people belong to one another. Maybe we need to dust off our John Wesley, if thine heart be as mine heart, then give me thine hand. Here is an announcement, good news for the coming week, of the promise and potential in common grace across difference. You know, sometimes Fred Craddock taught us to watch and listen to the way we just speak to one another. Sometimes we'll see two people who aren't married at all, maybe they're roommates, or maybe they're on the soccer team together, or maybe they're members of a faculty together, or a business, or work together on stage, just two people, and we notice the way they interact, and we notice that one finishes the other's sentences, and the other knows what the first is thinking before it's uttered, and what do we say of them? We say, they're just like an old married couple. Truer than true, there's a height to human relationship at its best that is soul to soul, a touch, an intimacy of knowing and loving, which is celebrated in today's gospel and in today's service of word and table. This capacity for grace across difference in our time has a communal dimension. It has a social and a religious dimension. Oh, we recognize the veracity of our colleague Stephen Prothero's warning against a shallow pluralism. But we also remember his predecessor, Houston Smith, teaching us that we are in good hands, and so it well behooves us to watch over one another in love. That is, week by week, across Bay State Road, we might together take a 30-minute walk and knock on the door of the Hindu Vedanta Society and there be warmly greeted, and come to the Thurman Common Ground House with a similar hospitality, and greet Father John at the Newman Center, and enter the Hillel House with its varieties of the practice of Judaism, and come to Marsh Chapel with its 17 services of worship week by week, and enter the GSU where the Islamic Society meets, and come on Saturday morning for the Hindu Society here. Boston University has the largest student Hindu society in the country, and in a recent evening, many hundreds gathered in the GSU for Ras Laila, for a celebration, an autumnal, rhythmic, dancing, colorful, nourishing communion and common grace across difference. We are made for community, consanguinity, communion together. So, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Today's gospel also brings us, in the second place, a common grace across time. Notice how the teachings on authority and marriage are followed by a discussion of children. It's still the case that people come to church often with two major questions. Can you help me find meaning in life? Can you help me to raise my children? The capacity of children to engage and to help us nourish the spiritual life of the community is a great gift. You know, Matthew 25 teaches us that as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. But that word really means to the littlest. And when I listen to the further teaching, I see a child maybe small enough to be with his hands finding his feet. You know that moment when a child finds his or her feet? So wonderful. When did we see thee hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or imprisoned? When I see an eight-week-old, I see someone always hungry, always thirsty, always naked unless you clothe him, always a stranger unless you love him, and imprisoned in a tiny little shell, but he's getting bigger all the time. We are given the gift of children to invite us into a grace across time, across the generations. Unless we miss our guest, many of you who are engaged in the ministry of Marsh Chapel are here, walk alongside us steadily, because you are courageous in the sense of investing in the next generation. In seeing and hearing activity in 2012, that will not bear fruit until 2062, which for some of you is just around the corner. It will be a great autumn, that of 2062, 50 years from now. That is, you're willing to invest in those who are going out. I see them on World Communion Sunday in the mind's eye. You do too. You see Jessica and Megan and Jeremiah and Elizabeth and Brian and David and Sarah Beth. And you can sense where they are in Virginia and South Carolina. In Texas, it's a big state. In California, and Michigan, New York, Oklahoma. These are your children. You held them for a time, and now you've given them to the future. Lest I miss my guest, you're with us because you want to invest in the next generation 50 years from now. 1962, 50 years ago, wasn't that very far away. Some of you can remember, as I dimly can, that in that autumn in the city of Rome, there was gathered what fruitfulness this bore for the children of that age, a second Vatican Council. And it met for 3 years, and it changed the face, the map of Christianity around the globe. How grateful I am for that openness that came, for that spirit, you remember the word, aggiornamento, renewal, refreshment, a new age. Let the winds blow, open the windows, and let the breeze blow through the life of the church. Or as our teacher, my dear teacher, Robert McAfee Brown, called it, seize the moment of the ecumenical revolution. How utterly different, looking back 50 years, my life would have been without that autumn of 1962. No lasting friendships with my dearest friends, a teacher here, a lawyer there, a physician here, a nurse there, whose spirituality and communion we came to know with ease. I can remember down the street at the Roman Catholic Church some years later in the mid to later 60s, the habits were changing and being changed. What a loss it would have been not to have as my advisor, Father Raymond Brown. What a loss it would have been not to have the capacity, as I did for 2 decades, to teach at a small Jesuit school. Yes, they accepted a mere Methodist fleeing from the wrath to come. That was the spirit of aggiornamento. What a loss it would have been if Kathleen Corrigan, a Bostonian, had not decided, as she did in the mid-60s, to exchange her habit for the blouse and skirt of a public school teacher and to teach the fourth grade all through the years of our own 3 children's learning, so that they knew what an excellent teacher was before she died unexpectedly in her 50s. That 50 years ago was what was planted, a common grace across time to us today. Oh, we have our differences, Protestants and Catholics. We argue about the celibacy of the priesthood and the infallibility of the Pope and the non-ordination of women and the sacrifice of the Mass. We go back and forth. We know what the other's going to say before it's said. We're kind of like an old married couple, aren't we? There we are. There is today a common grace, not only across difference, but also across time. And there are some in this room who will be finishing their ministry in 2062, in that autumn. We hope that they will recall this day today. Friends, hear the good news as we come to this common table. We lift together an affirmation, sursum corda, lift your hearts, of a common grace. Some years ago, several of us went to the edge of the Pacific Ocean in Vancouver for an assembly of the World Council of Churches. We were arriving late, and there was a huge tent right on a bluff. And we could make out a song as it was coming toward us. We were hurrying because we tarried. I think of the people present there: Philip Potter, Pauline Webb, Connie Harvey, Emilio Castro, Paulo Freire, so many others. And they were singing, "In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth." Hear the good news, a common grace across difference, a common grace across time. We conclude our sermon today with the singing of that very hymn found in your hymnal, note the number 548. 548.